Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You're invited to join our family at City on a Hill Church as we bring light to a dark world. City on a Hill is located at 1645 Dahlonega Highway in Cumming. Sunday service starts at 10 a.m. To find out more, visit cityonahillchurch.us. We are City on a Hill Church.
But one of the things that blessed me, I told you I was down with Mike and Linda on Thanksgiving, and their son-in-law, Stuart, had their new baby, Amanda. Their daughter, Amanda, is married to Stuart, and their newest baby is Emily, and she's 8 months old. Is that right?
Yes.
And it just blessed me so much. Stuart had Emily, and he just was blowing on her. Have you ever done that with your little ones?
Yeah.
You know, do that, and then they just laugh and giggle, and so they were doing that, and Emily was just giggling and laughing, and you know, as he was doing that, I just saw my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I thought, you know, our Heavenly Father is like that. Our Heavenly Father, you know, just wants to take us and just make us laugh and giggle. And you know, it just blessed all of us to hear that little baby laughing and giggling like that. We all laughed when she laughed, and it was blessing her daddy to get to do that and to hear her laugh like that. It blesses our Heavenly Father when we respond to His joy and to His blessings.
Amen.
Amen. And that just was another proof to me. You know, some people say, "Well, I don't know about that laughing in the spirit. I think that's just people putting that on." No, that's just your Heavenly Father blowing on your tummy. Giving you, what do some people call it? A Zerbert, giving you a Zerbert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just, you know. And you just laugh. Hallelujah. I've had them before. Amen. He's given me Zerberts before He can give me more. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last February the 4th, I lay on my bed for a solid hour laughing in the Spirit as my Heavenly Father just tickled me. And made me laugh. Hallelujah. And it brought healing. It brought healing to my life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God wants you to have joy. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read a passage, and then we want to talk about this a little bit. Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read verses 24 through 29 straight through. I just want you to listen and look at it close. You can open your Bible or it'll be on the screen, but listen to these words. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And so this passage is all about how Moses made certain decisions and choices, followed up by actions. It wasn't just mental decisions, but there was actions involved as well. And these choices, these decisions, determined his destiny. And these choices put him on a course to be used by God to deliver the nation of Israel out of bondage to the Egyptians. And even though Moses was called by God to do these things, and he was, God had called him to do them, Moses still had to choose to obey God, right? Amen? He still had to choose. And the point is this, God has a calling. God has a divine purpose for each of our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a purpose for your life. He absolutely does. And the choices, though, that we make throughout our lives. See, our lives are a series of choices,
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
The choices that we make throughout our lives will determine if we fulfill that God-given destiny, that divine destiny that God has for us. And so I want you to think about these three words today. Choices determine destiny. The Holy Spirit spoke those words to my heart a few weeks ago. Choices determine destiny. Choices determine destiny. Your choices will determine your destiny. Amen?
Amen.
It's not up to fate. It's not up to whatever will be, will be. It's not up to, oh, well, if it's the will of God. No, it's your choices. Your choices determine your destiny. Amen?
Amen.
Moses, when we look at the story of Moses, if we go all the way back to the beginning of his life, we know, as we read here in the previous verses in Hebrews and as we read from the Old Testament scripture in Exodus as well, that when Moses was born, that was at the time when Pharaoh had decreed that all the male children born to the Hebrews were to be killed. Remember that? And that's a historical fact that happened. They found carvings and inscriptions on the walls there in Egypt to actually show that and record that actually happened. And of course, that was, you know, the devil's plan. You know, the devil's plan, he doesn't have anything new. The devil's plan is kill the babies, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's brought that back in our nation today in the last 40 years, you know, kill the babies. And so it happened in Moses' time. It happened in Jesus' time. When Jesus was born, the devil moved on Herod, kill the babies, yep. You know, kill the babies. So, but Moses was spared from death as a baby because his parents made a decision. They made a choice, a decision to hide him from the Egyptians. Remember that? And it says the Bible says he was hid for 3 months in their home. And then when he got 3 months old, they thought, well, he's getting too big for us to be able to hide him in the home here. And so remember that his mother made a basket and put him in the basket and floated him down the river, and sent his sister Miriam out to watch over him, and the basket floated down and actually floated down to the place where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and they saw the basket floating by, and then Moses cried out, this little sweet little baby started crying, and the Bible says that they took him up out of the water. In fact, his name Moses means drawn out. And because they drew him out of the water, she named him Moses. And he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so basically he became Pharaoh, the King Pharaoh's grandson. And that's how he was raised. He grew up in Egypt. He grew up as a grandson of the king. He grew up in privilege. And so the Bible tells us here in verse number 24, it says Moses, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What happened? Well, the Bible tells us that he was 40 years old when this happened. And in the book of Acts, in Acts 6, it says, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. See, another thing that happened in this too, that when Pharaoh's daughter took him out of the water, Miriam was standing by, and she came running out, and Pharaoh's daughter said, "Do you know anyone? Do you know a Hebrew lady that we could get to take care of this little baby?"
Yeah.
And Miriam says, "I think I can find someone." So Miriam ran and got her mother, who was also Moses' mother, and came and said, "Well, this lady can take care of him for you." And so Moses' mother actually got paid to raise Moses in Pharaoh's house. And so, you know, she instilled in him, even though he was raised in Pharaoh's house, she instilled in him, you are a Hebrew, you are a Jew, these are your people. And so when he came of age, the Bible says, he refused. There was a point in time where he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible says that he went out to visit his brethren at this time, and he saw one of them. The book of Acts tells us this, that he saw one of the Hebrews being mistreated by the Egyptian masters, and so he went and he killed the Egyptian. Remember that? Remember the account how he killed the Egyptian? He knew that the call on his life was to deliver the children of Israel, but he got the timing wrong. He tried to do it in his own strength, in his own ability, and in his own time, rather than wait on God's time and rather than wait on God's anointing and God's empowering to do that. And so he killed the Egyptian. He ended up having to flee and leaving the land of Egypt for a period of time. And it was 40 years later, when he was 80 years old, that God appeared to him in the burning bush and sent him back into Egypt. And so even though he failed in one regard, even though he got the timing wrong, still he made a choice and he made a decision. He decided one day, he said, I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am a Hebrew. He made that choice. He made that decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Let's go to the next verse, Amy. Choosing rather, look at this, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And then the next verse says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And so I want to stop right there. And Wes, if you could turn me up just a little bit, I would appreciate that too. But I want to look at it like this, and I want to tie it in to, this is not just a history lesson about Moses, but this is a principle, and these are principles here that we can apply in our lives today. Amen? And so the order, even though he says, and as we read it, it says he refused, and it says choosing, and then it said esteeming. The order is actually this. The order is actually esteeming, then choosing, and then refusing. And so the first thing that Moses did, if you really break it down and look at it, the first thing he did was he esteemed, and the word and the word esteem means, in other words, he weighed his options. He weighed his options. And anytime you and I are faced with a choice or a decision that can determine our destiny, the first thing that we do is esteem. We weigh our option. The word esteem means to judge, to measure, and to weigh. That's what esteem means. And so he esteemed, he judged, he measured, and he weighed. And it's like weighing something on a scale. On one side of the scale, the choice was the treasures of Egypt. And that was on the scale on this side. On the other side of the scale was the reproach of Christ. And to him, the reproach of Christ outweighed the treasures of Egypt. Amen. On one side of the scale was the passing pleasures of sin. On the other side of the scale was to be counted among the people of God. Amen. Which would mean affliction, persecution for being among God's people. Well, when he put it on the scale, to him, to be counted among the people of God was more weighty, more valuable than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And in so doing, in doing that, then he refused. So he esteemed it, and then he chose. He said, you know what? I want to be counted among God's people. I want to follow God. I want to follow the true and living God. I want to follow Jehovah, the true God, and I'm going to be counted among the people of God. He chose that, and in so doing, at the same time, then he had to refuse. I'm no longer the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I refuse that lifestyle. I refuse that way of life. I choose and I embrace the way of life of the people of God. Amen. He made that decision. Amen. How could he do that? How could what he chose, how could it outweigh the benefits and the privilege of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Well, the Bible says in verse number 26 again, if we'll put that back up, look at what it says here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Amen. Everybody say, he looked to the reward. And so what he realized, what Moses realized was this. He realized that the pleasures of sin were temporary. He had enough understanding to know that this lifestyle that he was living as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that was all temporal. That was all temporary. There was no eternal value in that. There is no eternal reward in that. It was temporary. And he realized that the reward for following God was eternal. There was an eternal component to following God. There was an eternal component to being numbered among the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so, again, I want to bring it down to our lives today. In making decisions in our lives, we go through the same process. Like I said, we esteem. We weigh our options. And if we're wise, we will factor in the eternal. Amen. This decision that I'm about to make, what is the eternal consequence? What is the eternal value? What is the eternal significance of choosing this option or choosing this option? Amen?
Amen.
And so we do that. We look, and maybe the decision is not an eternal a decision that has to do with eternal things, but let me put it to you like this: long-term benefit as opposed to short-term, you know, gratification. Amen. And it could be something that's not sin necessarily. I know when we were I mentioned this yesterday when we were during the food, because we had all kinds of, and I took some of them home too, all kinds of pastries and I took the little mini muffins, the little lemon poppy seed muffins. I had one of those this morning. It was really good. And one of the little orange streusel muffins. So that wasn't too bad for me. So some of the stuff we had in there. Rich. But Dr. Rutland, when Reed and Amanda and I were at the NICL, Dr. Rutland, they had donuts in there for our breaks. And Dr. Rutland says, I don't even eat these anymore. He said, I just take them and I tape them. I just attach them directly to my waist, you know, because that's where they end up. So that's what you do when you make a decision. You think about, okay, the short term pleasure and gratification of this is going to taste really good, but is it going to look really good hanging off of me in a few days? So, all right, and so whether it's an eternal decision or whether it's just a natural decision, we need to make that decision based on, okay, what is the long term? We can look at the same with money, you know. I really like this car and I really want to buy it, and it's, you know, zero down and it's going to be this much a month. I'll sign up for it. You know, that's all real good, but what would happen instead if you said, you know, I don't have to have a new car. I can drive this one a few more miles. It's paid for. I may have to do a little maintenance on it, but I can save all that money. I can put that in savings. I can earn some interest on it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Hello, is this too practical for you today? Is this all right? Amen. And so we need to learn to look to the reward, you know, both the eternal spiritual as well as the long-term impact versus the short-term gratification of the decisions we make, because our choices will determine our destiny.
Amen.
Your choices will determine your destiny spiritually. Amen. Your choices will determine your destiny physically.
Yep. Yes.
Amen?
Yep.
You know, folks that smoke, and I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to judge you. So, well, Pastor, will I go to heaven if I smoke? Yeah, you'll probably get there a lot quicker than the rest of us. But you're making. I never was tempted to smoke. Mike and I watched our father smoke himself to death at 58 years old. So I never was tempted with that. But you're making a decision every time you light up. You're making a choice. Is, well, this is just one cigarette, but multiplied, you know, however many you smoke a day, however many you smoke in the course of a year. You're making a choice that's going to determine the destiny of your health. And again, I'm not condemning anybody. You know, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just trying to help you see, okay, let's make some good decisions that are going to determine a better destiny for us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, and we can look at it in any number of areas in our lives. And so the Bible says, though, he looked to the reward. That's the principle. Look to the reward. Look to the reward. Look to the long term. Look to the long term when you're getting ready to make a decision, when you're making a choice, because that choice is going to determine, it's going to have a determining factor on your destiny. Amen? It may be small. It may be a small part of your destiny, but that choice is going to determine your destiny. What is the long-term result? What is the long-term benefit or consequence of this choice that I'm about to make?
Amen?
And then the second thing in this that is so prominent is this. It's the element of faith. The element of faith. Four times in this passage, the verse starts out, the statement is made. It starts out with this: by faith, Moses.
Right.
By faith, he did this. Four times, by faith, by faith, by faith. In fact, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter.
Right.
Hebrews 11 is all about faith. And so in this situation of Moses' choices determining his destiny, faith plays a big part in this. Faith has a big role in this. And so the message of faith has been so powerful. It's had such a powerful impact in my life. In fact, you could say this church is a faith church.
Amen.
It's a faith church. The Apostle Paul pleaded guilty to being a word of faith preacher.
Yes.
In Romans chapter 10, he says, the word of faith which we preach. And so the message of faith and the word of faith, it's been so prominent and so important in teaching us that God wants us to live in victory in this present life.
Amen.
That God wants us to enjoy the blessings that have been provided for us in this life. God does want to prosper us and bless us, and God wants us to be healthy. The message of faith has emphasized all of that. But let me point something out to you this morning. It also takes faith. It takes faith to be able to look to the long range and the long term and to the eternal. Amen?
Amen.
It takes faith to be able to forsake short-term comfort in order to embrace God's long-term plan for our lives. And it may be sacrificing. It may mean sacrificing something, some things, some short-term comfort at the beginning, in order to pursue the plan of God for our lives. That takes faith as well. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Moses did. In verse 27, it says, by faith, let's get 27 up there, Amy. There we go. By faith, look, he forsook Egypt. So now we're moving. The first three steps in this, esteeming and choosing and refusing, those first three steps in this process of decision and choice, that's all in the mental realm. That's all in the realm of, okay, I'm praying about it. I'm endeavoring to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's a whole nother deal, a whole nother avenue here that we won't take time to discuss today, but certainly a prominent one. We need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And follow His leading on the inside. And so He's done all of that. And now it's time to act. Now it's time to act. Amen?
Amen?
It says by faith, but let's look at the faith part here for a moment. It says by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing. By faith, not fearing. Amen. Faith and fear are polar opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. If you're not operating in faith, then you're going to be motivated by fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? Did you notice, I don't know, I've noticed, it stood out to me, that the people that are so upset about the results of the presidential election, the thing they're saying is, well, we fear.
Yeah.
They're operating in fear, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, we fear that and the things that they're fearing is just really a bunch of hype. If you hear them talk, it's not even things that President-elect Trump has said he's going to do or that he's even for. It's just stuff that somebody made up about him during the campaign to try to discredit him. And, well, get out of fear. Well, they're not saved, most of them that are saying that, so they're going to be operating in fear. So, but if we're not operating in faith, then we're going to be motivated by fear. In our decisions, in our choices, if we're motivated by fear, get this now. Everybody look this way. If you're in fear, you're always going to make a bad decision.
Amen.
Amen. If you're in fear about that situation, you're always going to make the wrong decision. So get out of fear. Before you make a decision, get out of fear and get over into faith.
Amen.
Get into a place of faith. Get into a place of peace, because fear will always lead you to a wrong decision. Always.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the devil wants you to make the wrong decision. That's why he brings fear. That's why he tries to get you in fear.
Yes.
That's why Jesus said over and over, fear not. Fear not. Amen. They came to Jairus after his daughter had died and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus said, fear not. Only believe. Don't make a wrong decision right now. Keep believing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So stay in faith and make the right choice. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And so again here, as we said, action now is now involved. Now it's time to act. He was esteeming. He was choosing. He was refusing. Now the Bible says he forsook Egypt. That was an action, wasn't it?
Yes.
Amen? Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. When we make a choice that will determine our destiny, there comes a time when we're through praying, we're through thinking about it, there's nothing left to do but act. And some people stop right there. They think about it. They talk about it. They know what decision they should make, but they just never act. They just never do it. There comes a time when it's time to follow the advice of Nike tennis shoes. And just do it. Just do it. It's time to act. It's time to act. Amen?
Amen.
In the Old Testament, we read about it. There's a story where the kingdom of Israel, this is after the kingdoms were divided, Judah and Israel were divided. And the kingdom of Israel, their capital city was Samaria. And the capital, the Syrians had surrounded, they were fighting against Israel, and they had surrounded the city. And they had cut off the food supply, and there was a famine in the city of Samaria. And you read this story in 2 Kings 6 and 7. And the Bible tells us that there were four men who were lepers. And they sat outside the city. And they said, one day they were sitting there, and they turned to one another and they said, why are we sitting here till we die?
Yeah.
They said, if we go back into the city, the famine is there, and we're going to die. And if we sit here, we're going to die. So let's do this. Let's go over to the camp of the Syrians and surrender to them. I mean, the worst case scenario, the worst thing they can do is kill us. I mean, we're going to die anyway. We might as well do something. And so they made that decision. And if you read the story, what happened was when they walked over to the camp of the Syrians, God caused the Syrians to hear the sound of a mighty army. It was just four mangy lepers limping across the way there, across the DMZ, into the camp of the Syrians, and they heard a mighty army coming, and they fled.
Amen.
All because it turned around the whole city. It brought prosperity to the whole city. It broke the blockade. And food came back into the city. They went into the camp, and the Syrians had fled and left all their silver and their gold and their food and everything there. And so these guys made a decision. They said, let's don't sit here till we die. Sometimes you don't really have to think about it. There are some situations where you have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Right.
You might as well make a decision. And that's not always. You need to know when that is. But there are times where if you just sit there, you're just going to die, whether it's physically or whether it's financially or whatever way it may be. Get up and do something.
Amen.
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 And God can supernaturally intervene in those times.
Amen.
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 All right. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11, 27. It says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The next part of the verse says, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. So the next step in this process is to endure. You make the decision. You esteem the situation. You choose. You refuse. Then you forsake. You take action. Well, It's one thing to make a decision. It's another thing to stick with that decision.
Amen.
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 The Bible says, by faith he endured. He stayed with it for the rest of his life.
Amen.
He stuck with this decision he made to refuse to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to be counted among the people of God. He never went back. He had a bunch of them after they came out of Egypt. He had a bunch of them that wanted to go back, didn't they?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Egypt. This Moses, you brought us out here into this wilderness to die. We remember, you know, I know we were in bondage, but at least we had 3 square meals every day.
Yeah.
And they forgot about all the hardship and bondage. The devil reminded them, well, you didn't have it so bad after all. They never learned, that generation never learned how to live as free people. God wants you and I to learn how to live as free people.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. There's some challenges to that. I said there's some obstacles to overcome. Amen. But it's worth it. I said it's worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he endured. He stayed with it. You know, there'll always be plenty of opportunities to quit, to give up, to turn back. Amen. But if you're gonna reach your destiny, if you're gonna reach the destiny that God has for you, you're gonna have to endure.
Amen.
That's why I never tell anybody, hey, you're called to the ministry. Why? Because if somebody tells a person they're called to the ministry, without that person figuring it out themselves and hearing from God themselves, when times get tough, and they will, and when obstacles come, and they will, they're going to say, you know, I never was called to this anyway. So-and-so just said I was called.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. Now, you can encourage people along the way, but you can't call anybody.
Right.
Amen. I let God do that.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Yeah. Because if they know God has spoken to them, then they're going to stick with it. No matter what comes.
Amen.
No matter what comes. I remember, I thought as I was preparing this, I thought about this. I hadn't thought about this in so many years. There was a, when I went out to Oklahoma, when my brother dropped me off in that barren wasteland and said, sayonara. Left me at the Sands Motel with $25 in my pocket. No, he was very good to me, but... It was 45, yeah, it was 45 in my pocket. So, but I was out there in Oklahoma as a 20-year-old going to Rhema Bible Training Center, and a few days after I got out there, I met a guy about my same age, and he was from Ohio, I believe. And anyway, he'd come down to go to Rhema as well, and he said, I think I'm going to go as long as I can continue to get my, you know, I think his dad had passed away, and or something, or was sick, or whatever, and he was drawing, he was able to draw Social Security, where he said, as long as I can keep getting this, and I'll be able to pay for this, and I can stay. Well, he found out that he wouldn't be able to keep getting it if he went to Rhema, because Rhema was not an accredited, you know, it wasn't an accredited school. And, of course, I was in a similar situation, and so he decided that because he couldn't get that money, you know, that keep getting that money from the government, that he said, well, I just can't do this. And he went back home to Ohio. And I often wonder whatever happened to him. Did he ever fulfill the call of God on his life? Well, I thought, you know, I'm staying. I'm gonna, you know, God's gonna provide, and he did. And I'm so glad I stayed.
Amen.
And went through that training to get prepared for what God had for me to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we have to endure. That's the point. Amen. How did he endure? The Bible says, look at this, as seeing him who is invisible. That may sound like an oxymoron. As seeing him who is invisible. How can you see someone that's invisible? Well, you see them through the eyes of faith.
Amen.
You see them through the eyes of your heart. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Amen. He was able to see the invisible God. He saw him through the eyes of faith. Hallelujah. He endured because he kept his eyes on God. I thought about the scripture in 2 Corinthians that the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are temporal, while we look not at the things which are seen, but again, this sounds like an oxymoron, but at the things which are unseen. Amen. The Bible says, look at the things that are unseen. That sounds foolish to the natural mind, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Look at what you can't see with your natural eyes. But we have spiritual eyes. Amen. I said, we have eyes of faith.
Yes, right.
We have eyes of faith, and we have to learn to look through those eyes of faith, because the eyes of our natural body may be telling us it's not happening, it's not working, you're going to fail. But if we keep looking with the eyes of faith at the promise of God, and we keep seeing Him who is invisible, then we're going to know, hey, this is possible. Not only is it possible, it's going to happen. Not only is it going to happen, this is my divine destiny, and I'm on a course for it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. Hebrews 11:28, the next verse says, by faith, here's that by faith again, four times. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So what happened here? Well, you know that God made the told them, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and I'm going to bring the final judgment, the ten judgments that came on the Egyptians. The final one is coming, and you're going to be spared from it. I want you to take a lamb. I want you to kill the lamb, drain the blood, and mark over your homes with that blood, and that'll be a sign for you. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hallelujah. And he says he kept that. God told him to do it, and he told all the children of Israel, and he kept that. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. What did he do? He appropriated divine provision and divine protection.
Amen.
Listen, when you and I choose to follow God's plan, you know what we're going to find? We're going to find divine provision along the way. We're going to find divine protection, and we're going to find grace to enable us to fulfill our divine destiny.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. You know what happened? You know the Lord told Moses, stretch out your rod over the Red Sea, and he stretched out his rod, and the Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel, upwards of some folks estimate there was maybe 3 million of them.
Wow.
We're not talking about 30 or 40 here.
Wow.
3 million of them walked across in the mud. No, no, on dry land. I mean, that didn't just open up, you know, somebody, you know, the people trying to explain this naturally said, well, you know, the Red Sea, at the place where they crossed, it was only like 6 inches deep. Well, and so they were able to go on that little, there's a little ridge there under the water, and they walked across on that ridge, and it's just 6 inches deep. So that's how they did that. Well, that's an even greater miracle, because the Bible says the Egyptians attempted to do so, and they drowned. In 6 inches of water? No, it was a miracle. Amen.
Amen.
It was supernatural. They walked across on dry land, and the children of Israel, the Egyptians attempted to do so, and they were drowned. They said, well, if you can do it, we can do it. And they tried to go across, and the sea closed back up on them, didn't it? See, it was supernatural. It was supernatural.
Amen.
They reached their destiny. They passed. They passed through. So if you choose to follow God, and if you stay with that choice, if you continue to follow Him, you're going to reach your divine destiny. And you know what? People are going to look at your life. They're going to look at you, and they're going to say, how in the world did they do that?
Amen.
How in the world were they able to do that?
Yes.
How in the world were they able to accomplish that? How in the world were they able to get through that? How in the world did that happen? They did it. You did it. You will do it. Because you follow God, and because of His provision, because of His empowering. Hallelujah. Don't try this in the natural. Don't try this in your own ability. As they say, don't try this at home. Don't try it in your own ability. But if you're following God, if you're walking in His divine destiny for your life, you're going to pass through to the other side. And you're going to look back yourself, and you're going to say, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how. It had to be God. It had to be God. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Well, somebody said, Pastor, that's all well and good, but I should have heard this message 10 years ago. I should have heard this message 20 years ago. I should have heard this message 30 years ago. I've made wrong choices, and I'm on the wrong path, wrong destiny. Well, I got good news for you this morning.
Hallelujah.
Look at this scripture, Matthew 21. It's a parable Jesus gave us. He says in Matthew 21, 28, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Now, the group he's talking to is the Pharisees, the religious people. And he says, I'm telling you, the tax collectors and the harlots are going to get into the kingdom of God before you. Even though they made wrong choices in their life, and they made wrong decisions, when John the Baptist came along and preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they said, yes, we will, and they repented. Yeah. And that repentance put them back on a course of God's divine destiny for their lives.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus told them, John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. When John came, the Pharisees and the religious people sat there with their arms folded and said, we don't think we believe him. Well, guess what? They needed to repent too.
Yes.
They needed some repentance in their life too. But they thought, well, we're not as bad as those people that are going and repenting. And they missed out completely. They missed out. These people, the tax collectors and the harlots that have been so far away from God's plan, they got right back on it because they repented.
Amen.
Just like the son that his father said, go and work in my vineyard. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But then later he regretted what he said and his actions. And he said, Father, I will. I'll go. He's the one that fulfilled his divine destiny. Even though he had it wrong at the beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the gift of repentance is a gift.
Yes.
I said repentance is a gift. Yes. Thank God for the gift of repentance. Why? Because we can change our destiny.
Amen.
We can change our destiny.
Amen.
Glory to God. We can get back on course of following God's plan. Amen. Don't you, any of you folks still use, I know most people just use their phone now, but I still use a GPS. And don't you like that feature on the GPS that when you make a wrong turn, it says recalculating?
Yes.
Yeah. Recalculating. And it gives you the turns to make to get back on course.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. GPS is God's positioning system. Amen. God's positioning system. And God can position you back on course for your divine destiny when you repent. We're going to recalculate you now. If you'll make this turn, you're going down the wrong road, son. But if you'll make this turn, we can get you back on course.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. The prodigal son, after he had made a series of very bad decisions, he didn't make just one. He made a bunch of bad decisions, didn't he?
Yes.
Amen. He got in a hurry and he said, Father, give me my inheritance. I want it and I want it now. It's my money and I want it now. You seen that commercial called J.G. Wentworth? It's my money and I want it now. So he said, it's my money and I want it now. And so he went and then he wasted his money. You know, he blew through the inheritance. And what the Bible says in verse 17, but When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. What is he doing? He's making a choice. He's making a decision. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. He acted. He acted, didn't he? Amen. Repentance is the way back.
Yes.
Amen. It's the way back.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for being able to repent and to say, Father, I've missed it. I've been on the wrong course. I don't like what my destiny is going to be at the end of this series of decisions. Thank God we can repent, we can turn around, and we can get back on course with His plan.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scripture God gave me about 13 and a half months ago now. Daniel 11, verse 35. This is how the NIV. Look at this. Some of the wise will stumble so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end, for it will still come at the appointed time.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord reassured me at that time in my life, your divine destiny is still intact.
Amen.
If you'll allow me to refine you and purify you, make you spotless through this, it's still going to come to pass.
Amen.
It's still for the appointed. It will still come at the appointed time.
Amen.
Well, that's not just for me. That's for anybody that needs it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Choices. Come on up, guys, if you would. Come on back up. Our choices determine our destiny. Say this. Say this with me. Say, my choices
determine
my destiny.
My destiny.
Amen. Joshua told the children of Israel this. He said, choose for yourselves this day. Everybody say this day. Today's a day of decision for some folks.
Yeah, that's right.
Today is a day of decision for some of us. Thank you, Jesus. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I'll tell you the decision I've made. Joshua had already made up his mind. Joshua had already chosen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
He said, but you're going to have to choose. I can't decide for you, children of Israel. I can't decide for you, people of God. As your pastor today, I can't decide for you. I can preach this message to you, but it's up to you to choose what you're going to do with it.
Amen.
It's up to you to choose how you're going to respond to what God is saying to us today.
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, God told the children of Israel, He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what? Choose life. God says, choose life. God didn't say, I'm going to give you life. He said, you're going to have to choose it. I've set it before you, and I'm telling you which one to choose, but you're going to have to choose it. You're going to have to choose it. Why? Because our choices determine our destiny. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now with every head bowed for a moment, every eye closed for just a moment.